it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Consistently good to great, the Tampa Bay Lightning are our team of the day. Marty has done the math. I might have been overselling this question, overhyping the question. How many teams would trade places with Tampa today? You don't get their recent history. You don't get any of their history. You just have to take their roster moving forward, recognizing that there's 2 years left for Kucherov on his current deal. And you have a lot of players who are locked up for quite a while. But by today's standards, they might be aging up just a little bit. Could be one of the top five oldest teams in the league this year. But again, there was very little difference in age between them and the Panthers last year, and the Panthers have won two consecutive Stanley Cups. So, Marty, what do we think?
I've got 19 teams that would trade places right now.
That's pretty good. That's a large percent. Now, without divulging the names of those teams,
yes,
what is the criteria that you're most fixated on when looking at this, recognizing that clearly as the number one scoring team in the NHL last year, the Tampa Bay Lightning still have star power and offense and an elite goaltender and a Norris Trophy winning defenseman in his day in Victor Hedman. So what when you're doing a very, very quick side by side of Tampa and team XYZ, what's the determining factor?
Well, I mean, yes, you're right. When you look at, they were first in goals for, fourth in goals against, fifth on power play, sixth in penalty kill this year. Tampa is a good team. But, okay, moving forward, I'm like, for example, the Edmonton Oilers. I'm just going to use the Oilers. Okay, would I trade my roster with McDavid, Draisaitl for this year, Evan Bouchard and all that, for the Tampa Bay Lightning roster?
No.
The easy answer is no. Now, I'm thinking, oh, well, yeah, could I have Vasilevsky instead of Stuart Skinner and all of that? And then it made me think that would I want to do it just because of that? But the easy answer is no. Mm-hmm. So I think it has to be like, if it's not an easy no, then it becomes a debate. And if it's a debate, then it's, do I think Tampa and their roster will be a better team this year? We live in the now. I don't care in 3 years from now and 4 years from now so much as at now. So that's what I was looking at.
But you do have to care about that. That's why you would trade with Tampa today, because it's not just for this season. You're inheriting them today and all the contracts, that of many of which have term. Yes. So let me ask the question a different way. What's their window for this core in Tampa to win? And do you honestly think that if things line up their way and Kucherov starts to resemble, and even point to a lesser extent, but if they resemble the goal scorers they were during their heyday of three consecutive trips to the final and two cup wins, like, what would have to happen for this Tampa team to win another Stanley Cup?
I mean, you're right when you talk about the depth. When you look at being able to add, like, the reason why the Lightning were so dominant is because they had a third line that had, you know, Barkley Goodrow, Yanni Gord, Blake Coleman, and it was like, okay, you're having
Andre Palat, Alex Killorn are the Killorn, two critical pieces.
So
yeah,
you had that depth. So if they were able to find the depth through some younger players, then I think the window is still 4 years.
Okay.
Oh, I just hit my button again.
Yeah.
When I touch the wire, you know what that is. So I'm back now. I think the window is still 4 to 5 years. When I look at Kucherov being 32, I think he could probably still go another 4 to 5 years. Point 29, Gensel's 30, Hagel's 27. I think there's still 4 to 5 years. I think Vasilevsky is still going to be a top-end goaltender for another 4 to 5 years. So that's where it is. Yeah, the Oilers, I'm saying no. Vegas, I'm saying no. Dallas, LA, Colorado, Florida, I'm saying no. These are the easy ones. Toronto, I'm saying no. I don't want to trade place with Tampa right now. But that was where it starts to be debatable, right? Like, they just lost Mitch Marner. Like, where is Toronto going? So
Toronto's better.
Toronto's better. I have them, and I'm not trading my roster with them. But there was
I wasn't meaning a direct comparison with Tampa. I think it would be kind of moot to make the trade, in my opinion. But I do think the Leafs are going to be better in the long run here without Marner. So
yeah,
call me crazy.
Like, when you get to like St. Louis, New Jersey, I think New Jersey is better. So I put them in the no, I'm not doing the trade. But even Ottawa, I'm not sure. Would I take Ottawa in the next 4 or 5 years or Tampa the next 4 or 5 years?
I'd take Tampa.
You'd take Ottawa, you mean?
No, I'd take Tampa.
In the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
So I put Ottawa in the I would trade the roster. Like, I would take Tampa's roster instead of Ottawa's roster.
Remind me to never ask this question again, because we could just run ourselves in circles here.
What about St. Louis? We just did St. Louis as team of the day. Like, St. Louis has got, but St. Louis at some point last year were a team that I don't know if they were going to make it. They had an unbelievable finish.
Well,
would I take Tampa over the St. Louis Blues roster?
Yes, I would.
Okay, so you were on the same page as I was. So I'm at 19 to 20 teams that would trade with Tampa right now.
Don't remember, the Lightning are involved in one of our more infamous closing segments of the summer. Remember the night I asked you about the big trade the night before between Tampa and Edmonton?
I had no idea. Well, no, I read the trade wrong.
You mixed the particulars.
So let me ask you, what
kind of impact do you think Sam O'Reilly is going to have on the Lightning organization?
Not on my sheet now. So,
but if it happens within a year, then all of a sudden, because look, this is an organization that has been allergic to draft picks. They still don't have like first rounders next year and the year after. So they have to hope that whatever they have accumulated 25 and under that's in their system somehow makes like an impact here to help out this bottom six.
So who is the guy that went the other? Isaac Howard?
Correct.
So Ike, he goes by Ike now. He doesn't want to be called Isaac. That's what it was. I had read the whole thing wrong. But you know what? The Lightning still have about $1 million in cap space this year. Which is something that they are always at the cap. They've been kind of working their way in circumventing some of that cap for a little bit. Not going to happen anymore because of the new rule. You're gonna have to have a cap compliant roster in the playoffs. But they have a little bit of wiggle room, which they really didn't have a lot of over the last few years.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Oh, I'm being reminded of there. Sorry, Jeff. I don't understand this last season. Did the Sabres lose 2 out of 3? You don't have who won here.
Yes, they lost 2 out of 3.
This is
they
us
lost
against them,
in a crazy
as opposed
game
to them
where,
against, it's Tampa, the team of the day, not Buffalo, Jeff. Come on.
I know, but this is being run. So the Sabres went in a shootout 3-2, but lost 6-5 and 7-4. Do you remember the 6-5 game?
Yes, of course, because they had a huge lead and they were – and we talked about this recently.
Game, right?
Vasilevsky got lifted, and they still ended up winning the game.
Yeah. And then 4 times this year, the Sabres and Tampa, but not until February.
I was going to say, why are we even talking about them? We're not even going to see them until February.
We see them once before the Olympic break, and then 3 times in the last month of the season, month and a half.
And that funny quirk with Florida Tampa is they have two sets of back-to-back games
yes.
against the Panthers and Lightning in that month of February, right before yep. the break and then right coming out of it. And those are your road games in Florida this year. So, yeah, it was a difficult season series, to say the least, against the Lightning in situations where Buffalo could have been much more successful. But you did mention, unless there's something else that you really want to hammer home here on the Lightning.
I think key additions, Pontus Holmberg, and key subtractions, Nick Perbix. That's all that Tampa really did this summer.
Yeah, I mean, Perbix, I think, is an upgrade for the Predators. Yeah. So if I'm considering him that, then that's probably why I think that the Lightning maybe aren't as deep as I would like them to be on the blue line, but we'll see. There's still plenty of time between now and opening night.
Yeah.
And based on something you said yesterday, it had me wondering, because you were not particularly bullish on the draft class of 2025.
Nope.
Having many candidates being ready to step in. And this is not an indictment of the 25 class. It's probably how most people feel. But I was thinking about it the other way. What if some surprising members from this recent class of 2025 and or other recent high picks that aren't necessarily on many popular website depth charts right now?
Mm-hmm.
What if there's a great youth movement in the preseason? And because a lot of teams have not done a lot, especially to their bottom six, right? What if some of these players have great preseasons, come up, and force decisions? And what I'm getting at, think of the number of veteran players that could be placed on waivers, if that's the case, and because so many teams have a lot of cap space. You know how you get in that mindset in October and you set the roster and it's like, oh, we're not going to do anything. No, don't have room, whatever, whatever. There's going to be a lot of teams sitting there right before setting the opening night roster with a lot of cap space. Yeah. And all of a sudden, somebody else's $2 million veteran who just got nudged out by a prospect might be available. Do you see a window here where we might have a more active waiver wire before the season begins?
Well, I think that it could happen before the season begins, and early in the season, there could be some more movement. I really feel this year is going to be different over the past years because of, you know, it was announced yesterday that there's going to be a progression into the rule changes into the CBA, right? But some of them are taking place this year where there will be a playoff cap this season. I thought when they had agreed upon the new CBA starting in 26-27, I thought the playoff cap won't be for another year. So teams will be able to do what they usually do, is try to accrue some salary cap, get a big time player at the deadline, and boom, you're $4 or $5 million over the cap in the playoffs. That won't be the case this year, because your 20 skaters in the playoffs will have to be under the $95.5 million cap this season. Mm-hmm. So the movements, I think, and the trades and the waiver wires and all of that will be happening more at the start of the season or in the first 2 months of the season, I believe, than later in the season. Because what good does it do to you to acquire a $6 million player late February, where you say, well, he's only costing us $2 million on the cap for the rest of the season? Yeah, but he will cost you the full six in the playoffs.
Right.
And so that is going to be a different approach. Some teams may say, I don't care if we're going to be maybe over the cap in the playoffs, we'll adjust, but we need to make the playoffs. So some teams will go all in and try to acquire players. Some teams may not. But I feel like the player movement will be more early in the season because of that little wrinkle than later in the year, because teams won't see the advantage to do it later in the year.
You think we'll ever get full disclosure as to why a player is not playing in the playoffs? Instead of upper body, lower body, it says cap hit, too big.
It could be. Like last year, if the Florida
Panthers... Makes too much. Can't play tonight.
The Florida Panthers would not have been able to ice the same team in the playoffs like this upcoming year compared to last year. So you go and acquire Marchand and you go and get this and that. You probably would have had to sit some money in the playoffs. So, yes, I think there's going to be like, what would they call it? Roster management, cap management, like playoff cap management. There will be some of that happening.
Any other NHL news that you wanted to get in that is CBA related? I'm sure your curiosity is piqued by many of these little bits of minutia.
The no double salary retention is coming into effect this
year. Oh, we've spent so many shows talking about that.
Well, you know, fans always say, how can the Sabres weaponize their cap space and be a third party into a trade? We're not going to talk about it anymore because you can't be a third party into a trade anymore. It's not going to happen. And this, again, was, I thought was going to be in a year from now. No, it's starting this year. So that is another wrinkle. Like, I don't want to hear on social media, well, Sabres should, weaponize their $4.5 million and facilitate, get a second round pick to facilitate a trade.
Yeah.
Can't happen anymore.
You didn't go full social media voice there. I'm disappointed.
No, I was
work on that.
there was
a sliver, Jeff. You're right. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Birthdays and more to get to. Maybe Marty's got some new endorsements in the offing. We'll see. It's next on Sabres Live.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.